This is the fourth series of four. We had first four shiurim about tree law. Then we had four shiurim about water problems between neighbors. Then we had four shiurim about smells and smoke. We just had three about stores and shuls opening next door, noise from next door neighbors. And I thought we would pause this week at the fourth of this series of four and talk about, really we could talk about this any week, but this is partly in the siman that we've been talking about in siman kuf nun vav, and that is the topic in case where your neighbor has the permitted use al pi halacha, are you allowed to use secular law like zoning law or covenant to try to block that neighbor from a permitted use? I mean, before I go further, this has nothing to do with any real case that ever happened. I'm just talking halachas that are nogeya lemaisa, but not any specific case. So if anything sounds familiar, it's just coincidental. So we're talking about, for example, your neighbor has a tree, a big tree, which al pi halacha is allowed to have, even if it might end up going and ruining your well. We learned al hanizgal achash hatasma, and you find that there's some covenant that says you're not allowed to have oak trees in the neighborhood, and you want to take them to a court and try to enforce that covenant. Or we learned that if it's not your direct water that's damaging the neighbor, like it's rainwater leaking from a drain pipe without any shield on your part, you're not responsible to fix it. But further, some secular law that says you're supposed to, can he take you to court to enforce that law? Or we said that you're allowed to barbecue in your backyard if it's not constant smoke, and it's not a really bad smell. There's no way he could stop you. Can he take you and say, look, there's a law in this neighborhood also that you're not allowed to do barbecues? Or in the halachas we've been talking about, if al pi halacha, your store is on a through street and it's not impeding upon the person, the neighbor's parking, or it's a shul or a school, even where it is impeding on the parking where there's no other ASO, as we spoke about last week, and a neighbor wants to say, well, that's also against zoning laws, it's against covenants, does that neighbor have the right to try to use secular law to stop a halachically permitted use of a neighbor? That's a nice topic. So we'll divide it into two parts. First we'll talk about using secular law to try to block someone, and then we'll talk about sometimes it works, they need you. And suppose it's a permitted use, but for him to do that permitted use according to secular law, he needs your signature, and you don't want to sign. Can he force you to sign for something that's halachically permissible, or can he say, look, I don't want to sign? Right, those are the two parts of the shiur, and we'll hopefully clarify them tonight. So the first part, can you use secular law to try to stop something from happening that you don't want to happen? It seems to the Ma'arik that you should be able to. The Ma'arik, it's a long tshuva, Siman Kuf Tadi Aleph. We'll look at one of his rayos in this Mishnah Bava Metzia. The Mishnah Bava Metzia says like this: Ro'es haMetzia v'nafal aleha. If someone saw a find, someone had lost something, he sees it in the street, and he fell upon it to try to take it. But another person came along and grabbed it first. The one that grabbed it first acquires it. The Gemara brings another similar halacha from a brisa. Natal mitzas peya v'zarak al hashar. You know the halacha is that a farmer has to leave a side of his field left aside for the poor people to take. That's called peya. And one poor person went and he saw there was a whole side there, he wanted to take it, and he took some of the pay and threw it on the rest like he's trying to claim it. Ein labaklum, he doesn't get anything because what he had he threw away and he never took the others. Nafalo aleha, if he fell upon it, he's trying to like take the whole area of that pay. Mavirin osem himena, we could take him away from it. The other people can go and say, I'm taking it, you can't have it. V'chein ba meshicha, same halacha is with Shikha, there's a sheaf there, and a poor person is trying, one poor person is throwing himself to try to get it. The second one can pull him away and take it for himself. Now the Ma'arik uses this Mishnah and this Braisa, and he wants to make a Kavul Chum. He was talking about a case where there was someone from out of town wanted to move into town, and get some rights from the tsar, from the pirates, that landowner that owned that area, to be able to live in that town. And the people in the town didn't want that person there. They already had rights with this tsar, with this non-Jewish owner of the town. Well, it wasn't democracies in those days, and they wanted to keep him out. So they wanted to go to the tsar and tell him, look, we don't want this person in, keep him out of here. So the Marik makes a Kal Vachomer from the Gemara we just learned, from this Mishnah Brayta we just learned. He said, in this Gemara we say, he says like this, we'll read the third line on the handout here. Rama Hasan, Madoch over there, Kvar Zocha B'miktas, the person that fell on the lost article, or he fell on the pay, he already has a little bit of a zchus. He already has a little bit of a right to that grain, or to that lost article. V'gam kodem hu lizchus, he also came here first. Afilo hachi, nevertheless, yav hasheni v'yavar, so a second person can come and remove him from it and take it for himself. Kevan dahavi mili dehefker, since it's hefker, so hacha over here in this case of someone wanting to move into the city against the will of the current resident. This person wants to acquire something that's hefker, according to what the others say. He says he never acquired it yet. He wants again new rights to move into the city. But over here, it's the people in the city who came first. They were always here. Certainly, can't they try to force out this newcomer that wants to come in if they want to? In the case of the Mishnah, I already tried gaining ownership over, I already started, and the second person can force me away, can grab it from me. So Kolshkein, in this case, where we're already living in the city, someone's trying to come in and take away some of the rights of residence from us, he wants to come in, and whatever harm it'll come to us, we don't want him there. So certainly we can do in our power to keep him out. And there should be no difference if we force him out by grabbing it from his hands or by getting the tsar involved and tell the tsar that we don't want him in here. You know, it's just like punching him in the nose. We can pull it away from him so we can also have to get the tsar involved. The Ayi brings a rush. The rush said in the tshuva, Sha'adam yachol adar v'chol mokam she'yirtza, a person has a right to live wherever he wants. Ve'ein b'nei ho'ir yachom la'akiv alav, and the current residents of the city have no right to stop someone from moving in. Pshita she'rotza lomer she'ein b'nei ho'ir yachom la'akiv alav pivestin. That's pashit, that what the rush means is the residents of the city can't take him to a bezin and stop him. But if the residents of the city will have strong hands, liskar desha ba'peit, to close the door in front of him. Hein al yidei hasar, whether it's through getting the governor involved. Hein al yidei shulonash, or some threat of physical harm to that person. Pshita shavashas b'yadam. Certainly, they have permission to do that. And then he concludes, "V'lo yachlok azeh." No one can argue with this. Ki'im ha'ikesh ha'psaltan, unless something, someone's very dumb and crooked thinking, asher lo yada, who doesn't know, v'lo yavin, doesn't understand, v'lo yigil ha'ra, and never passed on the shayla in his life. So, that's always hard to argue with someone that ends up with that. But that's what the Marik said, that right now, this person wants to move into the city and take things away from me. It's, I have rights to the city right now. When you move in, I won't have you to make the same deals that I can because you're here, and we don't want you here. So we certainly can do anything in our power to stop you from coming into the city. Kal v'chomer from that Mishnah and the Braisa and Bav Metzia. Now the Beit Yosef and the Bet HaKabayi Simen Kuf Nun Vav, our simon that we're learning now, he says, this whole thing doesn't make sense to me. How can you try to overpower your opponent using a sar v'shalav hivestin without a vestin? Even though the Marik exaggerated his psak halacha l'hachris neged hacholak alav, to insult anyone that argues with him. That's not going to stop me from writing what I hold. You don't have to find favors here. You write the halacha and don't care what anyone says. So the Bet HaKabayi says, no such halacha. You can't go to a tsar. You have to settle everything in a bezdin. The Mabit similarly says that the Kal v'chomer de Marik Mei doesn't make sense either. Because, what's it mean? I'm falling on this mitzia. I'm falling over the payah. So he said, well, there I started owning it. It's like the kinyan b'mitzvah. So it's a zocha b'mitzvah. So we say, what kind of kinyan is that? If you acquired it, so then the other person has no right to take it from you. Why does he have a right to take it from you? Because it's not a kinyan at all. There's no such thing as a partial kinyan. From there, he made a kavah chomer. You didn't acquire it. That's not one of the ways of making a kinyan, falling over it, unless you actually hold it in your hand. So you don't ask why isn't it aladamas, but that's not a kinyan. So there's no such kavah chomer over there. So therefore, he also has a long tshuva against all the Ma'arik's rise. I'm only saying this one over here, but he also disagrees with the Ma'bid. That went in the case. However, the Ramah paskins like the Ma'arik. The Ramah Simen Kufnan Zayin, Siv Zayin says, Lukule Yama, everyone agrees. If the people in the city can close the door of Eligrom im Hamoshlim and to work with the rulers, Sheyimcha Beboim Logor, to protest those coming in to live in the city, or some other method, maybe he means physical violence, they're allowed to. Now, he's talking, this is the end of the siman, we spoke about this a few years ago, this is talking about competition, where you have a store and someone else wants to come in and open up a competing store, where api halacha could be that you couldn't stop them, or like we're saying here, just the right to live in the city. So the Ramah passes like this Ma'arik, he quotes the Ma'arik and says that you can work with the rulers, the non-Jewish rulers, to try to stop a person from coming in. Okay, so anyway, that would seem to give the person a right. You know, I mean, I live in the neighborhood every year, and someone wants to move in and plant a big tree in his yard, and the law is you're not allowed to have a big tree like that. I can call up the governor and say, look, he wants to plant a big tree. Stop him. He wants to open up a business, and I don't like that business here. He should be able to stop him. That's what it seems like from the Ramah that we see. Halacha passing by the Ramah. However, we can water this down pretty much. The Divi Malkiel, everyone is bothered by the fact, how can you, we have halachas, you're not allowed to go to non-Jewish courts to settle your affairs with another Jew. How are they allowing this over here? Even though you're not asking them for psak halacha, it's their laws, but what right do you have to, if Din Torah says this neighbor is allowed to move in and do this certain function in his yard, or he's already here and he wants to do a certain function, what right do you have to stop him? The Divi Malkiel says that, so just read the second part of it. He says, "Heicha shalvei kachavim eino seklum, rak ma'akev pekudasel et yisol milado sham, ameilase sham eza eza lemigri moser, b'shal she'en kavanosa lehera lo." Right? He asks the kasha, how can you think that you can go to a non-Jew to enforce the law? So he says over here, well, we're not doing anything bad to the Jew that wants to move in. We're just telling him, don't move over here. But we're not telling him to... we're not taking money away from him. He's not losing anything. You want to get that business from that ruler. He calls him Kehefer because the business is like Hefker, and call it Karam Zacha. So he limits the Ma'arik to a case where I'm not trying to take anything away from you. Just we're competing over here. We're competing to get a contract, say, with the governor. So you put in your bid, and I can go to the governor and put in my bid and say, look, don't go to that one. I'll do it for cheaper. I'll do it better. Right? That's fair competition. Here the non-Jewish governor or employer is offering a contract. So one person offers a contract, you can go and offer your contract. That's the way he looks at this halacha of Ma'arik. Right now we live in this city, we have a contract with the governor, you're trying to come in which would impede on our relationship with the governor. We can go to the governor and say, look, we don't want him in here. Right? That makes sense. The Kedoshim, the Bochacher, says on the spot over here also, he says that the only isser to go to use non-Jews is to take money from someone. That's what's usser. Even if the non-Jewish courts will paskin the way a Jewish court would paskin, but they happen to, you know, that in this law they paskin the same law we do. But it's still a chilul Hashem to go to a non-Jewish court. The two Jews should go to a non-Jewish court to have a shayla answer. So that's where you have a problem. But over here also, he says it's saying a similar thing. Here we're talking about the right to live in a city. So here also, it's not that I'm trying to, we have a fight and we're trying to have a non-Jew adjudicate our fight between us. Here the issue is with the non-Jew. He right now has a relationship with me. I want to prevent him from having a relationship with you. And I have that right to try to retain my rights that I have with this person, with this ruler, and try to stop you from stepping in. Pitzchei Choshen wants to say it a little bit differently. He wants to say the Ma'arik is only talking in a case, and the Ramah is only talking in a case where the opponent is using the non-Jewish ruler to get rights to come in. So then you have the right to answer back and say to that same non-Jewish ruler, well, he said that he's going to come in because of this and then this. We hold that it's not good for the community. We don't want to come in. But if someone would just be living peacefully on the street on his own and doing something that's permitted, and you want to use the non-Jewish law, a secular law, to stop him from doing something, where would you have a right to do that from? This Ma'arik is only talking where you have a relationship with this secular ruler. So then, you're trying to use him to get certain rights. I can go to that same secular ruler to block those rights. But where I'm not dealing with him, I'm just living a peaceful life by myself in my house, and you want to use a secular law to stop me from doing something that I'm allowed to do that doesn't have anything, I'm not asking that ruler to help me with it. I have a right to plant a tree. You found some secular law that stops me from planting a tree, so that you have no right to do. That's the way Pesachei Choshen concludes. Even though we have this Ma'arik, which itself is tenuous, it's argued by the Beit HaGavayis, the Mabit, but the Ramah does paskin it. However, it's watered down by the Divrei Malkiel, the Kesef Kedoshim, and Pesachei Choshen afterwards, to say that the Ma'arik, who allows you to go to a non-Jewish ruler to plead your case, is at best talking in a case where it's something that there's a relationship with this non-Jewish ruler, with this secular ruler, where I have certain rights with him. You're trying to take those rights away from me. That's the Ma'arik's Tavel Chomer. So I can go and say, look, I'm here first. I have these rights. I can certainly go to that secular ruler and tell him, don't let that person in because of such and such. I can, I'll make a better deal. He won't be good. You can do such halacha. But in our case, where I'm living in a neighborhood already, or I want to move into a neighborhood, where al pi halacha I'm allowed to move in, and there's nothing that can stop me, and I'm doing permitted usage, the trees, the barbecues, the school, the shul, whatever is for the business, whatever is permitted to use, the Ma'arik would not be a good precedent for you to use to report me to the government, to zoning laws, or whatever other agencies, whatever government agencies, to try to stop my efforts. That would seem to be also to do according to everyone. The Ma'arik would be a very tenuous source to allow that. And so that's the first part. That's probably what we figured, that would not be a right thing. There is this one possibility. If you can try to get it to be like the Ma'arik's case, that someone's coming and by him doing it, you won't be able to do what you need to do with the land. You know, so then that you might have something to talk about. But generally, the Ma'arik will not be a source to try to stop your neighbor from doing something that halachically permitted but might not work according to secular law. Now the second question is, suppose he needs you. He lives on the street and he wants to put a certain usage in his house. He wants to plant hedges there, and there's a covenant that says you're not allowed to have hedges or fences near the border, or he wants to change the usage of the house from residential to some other usage, and in order to do that he wants to stay above the law, and there's a covenant, which is a neighborhood. When they built the neighborhood, the neighbors got together to make certain agreements which get inherited by the buyers of the houses. We spoke in the past whether that's halachically binding, but even if it's not, right now I want to, as a resident of this neighborhood, I don't want to get into problems. So the way to avoid that problem is you get people to sign that people of the neighborhood who are on that block or wherever the area of the covenant is, and you ask them to sign to amend the covenant to allow this use.
He's seeking a variance of the real estate.
A variance is with zoning. This is where when there's a covenant, it's an agreement made among neighbors.
Slightly different.
Yeah, it's really not zoning law. It's an agreement that anyone can make, a private agreement that we bought these houses based on these certain conditions, that we won't put in fences or additions, or some of them used to say we won't allow Jews in, right? They used to say that. And there are different rules that, you know, some are illegal. Nowadays they're illegal, but there are these covenants that you want to not get involved with. So what you do is you get most of the people, a majority of the people that the covenant affects, and they can sign an amendment to override the covenant. So suppose you wanted to plant this tree, this hedge, this fence, change the uses of your house, in a permitted way, and you want the neighbor, you want your neighbor, one of the neighbors, to sign to get to that majority, and you know most of them are signed, and you need one more for that majority, and he says, yeah, but I don't want you to build that fence. I don't want you to change the use of your house. I don't like that idea. So can you force him? Afi halacha, is there a way to say, take him to a din Torah and say, look, I'm doing a permitted use. There's afi halacha. I want you to sign it. There's no, when you're trying to bribe me, you want to extort me, that I'll give you certain money, are you allowed to do that? Or can I say, look, this is a permitted use. Everyone else has signed. All you have to do is sign, and it doesn't hurt you anything. And I want you to sign. Right, that's the shaila. Pesach Choshen wants to say this sounds like another halacha. It's a famous shaila, and it could be a shir in itself. We'll just talk about be half a shir for us. He talks about a shaila like this. You know, pi halacha, if someone dies and he has sons and daughters, only the sons inherit the father, and the daughters don't. That's pi halacha. Suppose someone lives in a secular country where the law is that everyone, all children inherit equally, boys and girls. There's no discrimination against the girls. Everyone inherits equally. And you have a frum family where the father died and the brothers and sisters all know that the brothers will get the money. But the brother then decides that he wants to sell one of the fields that he has. And the buyer says, look, I know that you own the field, because I also know the halacha. You, let's say it's only one son to make it easy. You inherited the whole property. I know that you are the sole owner of it, and you have the right to sell it to me. But in secular law, your sister also has a right to it. And I'm worried that I'm going to give you the money for it, and then later your sister is going to come, or your resh will come, and say, my brother had no right, or my uncle had no right to sell the field because we own half of it and I want half of that field back from the buyer. So the buyer says, prospective buyer tells the son, tells the seller, I want you to get your sister to sign off on this piece of property. She's not losing anything. I'll be halacha. She knows she doesn't own it. And I want her to sign that piece of paper so I'll be protected. But that's a case that has dozens of poskim have talked about. So what's the halacha? So there are a lot of rayas back and forth. Let's look at one raya from the Gemara in Bava Kama, Kuf Amud Beis. The Gemara talks about a deal a person made when he bought a field. Halakeh shad b'shem chaveiro. Reuven purchased a field from Shimon b'shem chaveiro, in the name of his friend. We'll see what that means in a second. Ein kofen oso limkar. We can't force him to sell. We see what that means also. Bim amar lo amanas. But if he told the seller, I'm doing this on the condition that you sell it again, kofen oso limkar, then we do force him to sell it. So the guy asks, my comment, what's going on? What's the pshat over here? This is the middle of another sugya, but I just put in the parts of nogeya us. My comment, what's the Tana saying over here? So amar Rosheshesh said, hofi kam, this is what he means. The case is like this. Reuven bought a field from Shimon, but instead of Shimon writing in the shtar that he was sold the field to Reuven, Reuven asked him to put in the shtar that he sold the field to the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa is the head of the Jewish government in Babel, and he wanted to have some force to this, or he wanted to avoid his name in it, whatever the reason was. He wanted the shtar, the document, to say that it was being sold to the Reish Galusa. So now he has he paid the money for the field, and the document says that the field belongs to the Reish Galusa. So he wants to go to the Reish Galusa now and say, Reish Galusa, I'd like you to sign the document that you sold it to me. So that way everything will work out. So the halacha is, Ein kofen oso Reish Galusa limkar. We don't force the Reish Galusa to sell it, because the Reish Galusa said, look, who asked for you to put my name in it? I don't want to sign it, just leave me alone. Bim Omer Amenas, but if he said to the buyer, told the seller, I'm buying it on the condition that the Reish Galusa will sell it to me, then Kofen has Reish Galusa Limkar, then we can force the Reish Galusa to sell it, to write that shtar, to write a document saying that he really didn't buy it, and he's giving it to the real buyer. So Gemara asks, why should that be? Almanas, Kofenosa, Reish Galusa, Limkar, Amai. How can you force the Reish Galusa to sign that document? Even because you said a condition with the seller, now you can force the Reish Galusa to sign. Lema Reish Galusa, let the Reish Galusa say, I don't want the honor of you giving me this field that you seem to give me, and I don't want your degradation either, because it's a little bit of a zoyin for Reish Galusa to be selling property. I don't want to sign or put my name that I'm selling property. It looks bad for me. So that's why the Gemara says that Rav Sheshet's pshat in the Braisa is wrong. Elam Rabbi Abaye gives a different pshat in the Braisa, so he says, Hachi Kama, this is what's happening. So the same case. He's buying a field, but he puts in the shtar that it's a Reish Galusa. And kofen es hamocher limkazin achriti. The buyer can't force the seller to write a second shtar. But if he told him, look, I'm giving you this shtar. The first one I want in the name of the Reish Galusa, and the second one I want for me. So then they agreed to it. Kofen es hamocher limkaz. We would force the seller to sell it again. So the achronim want to say that this case of the daughter inheriting is similar to this case of the Reish Galusa over here. Because what happened over here? Reuven bought a field from Shimon. He gave the money to Shimon. Now he legally owns the field because Kenyan Kesef, he bought it. Kesef works for a karka, he owns it now. But the problem is, if he wants to sell it to someone, he might get into trouble because the shtar says it belongs to the Reish Galusa. And all he's asking the Reish Galusa to do is to sign a piece of paper, a waiver, saying that he doesn't own it. Right? That's what he's asking the Reish Galusa to do. So the halacha is, the Reish Galusa could refuse to do it. He says, look, I don't want that desire of having to sign a paper. So the Erech Shai, among others, want to bring a raya from there, the Chora, that same thing over here. If you're asking the daughter to sign that she doesn't have any rights to that property, she could say, look, I don't want to, because just like the Reish Galusa doesn't have to, I don't have to either. So the Erech Shai says there's no raya from there, because over there the Reish Galusa could say, well, you want me to sign it? You got yourself into a pickle yourself. You're the one that put your name on this document that you're selling it to me, so you made the problem. I don't want to get involved then, probably signing anything that's degrading for me. But the daughter can't tell the son, look, you caused this problem yourself. It's not his fault that the father died. It's just that's the circumstance that the father died and hadn't written the will. It's not his fault. And therefore, he wants to say, the daughter should be forced to sign on it because there's no precedent from the case of the Reish Galusa, because over there, that buyer causes his own problems. That's why he can't force the Reish Galusa. But over here, where the son did nothing to put himself into this predicament, there he could ask the daughter to sign, and she can't get away from it. He says this has to do with halacha of Hashavas Aveda, because we learned that Hashavas Aveda applies to land also. How does it apply to land? For example, you're walking down the street and you see that someone's hose is on and it's ruining his corn garden, his garden in his backyard. So you have a din of Hashavas Aveda to protect his land and call up and tell him that your water's on, turn off the water yourself. Then you might want to be careful because he's watering it. But you have an obligation to, and when you're sure that someone's land is getting ruined, you have an obligation to save it. So over here also, the daughter has an obligation of Hashavas Aveda because her brother's land, everyone agrees that's the brother's land, she's not arguing that, her brother's land could be getting ruined by the fact that she doesn't sign, because right now it's in the legal books, he calls it the Groenbuch. In the real estate books, it says, in the secular law, it says it belongs to her and him equally, and Afi Halacha, we really know, belongs to him. So she has a Chiyuva, Hashavas Aveda, to sign this to save the property for her brother that rightly belongs to him. That's the way the Erech Shai concludes, that she has that Halacha. Right? In the case of the buyer who put in the Reish Galusa's name, that's an Aveda Midas. There he caused his own loss. That's why the Reish Galusa has no obligation to help him out in that case. That's the Erech Shai's Pesach, that the daughter has to sign that paper for her brother. Nachla Tzvi wants to say, you have to read the Gemara a little carefully, because the Gemara said, why did the Reish Galusa get out of it? He got out of it because
he said, it's degrading for me. It's, you know, I'm the Reish Gilus, it's degrading for me to sign a paper. So there also he says that's only by a Reish Gilusa. But if for the daughter there's no degradation in signing a paper, that she doesn't have rights to it, she's just saying that I don't have rights to this land, and it doesn't even have to go into the court. Maybe she could sort of write a separate document, won't, no one will ever see it. She's just saying, I attest that, you know, this is my brother's name because he inherited from his father. So there there's no degradation, there's no zilusa, there's no bizayon. So there he says, kofen amida sedom, it's amida sedom, that you should be able to force the daughter, once again, to sign this paper. The Marsham, in the Mishpat Shalom, and also in the Tshuvas, he quotes the Direi Chayim, who wanted to bring a raya from this Gemara Bava Kama, the opposite. He wanted to bring a raya. The Gemara is mashma, that it's only the Reish Gilusa can protest and not sign because it's a bizayon to him. But if it wouldn't be a bizayon, so then you could force him to sign. He says, because it's Zenenem Zalachasa, what do you lose by signing? So that's the, he says, the Direi Chayim also held that you can force the daughter to sign. The Masham himself, though, says, maybe there's a difference over here. Why can you force the Reish Gilusa to sign? That's because, or someone who wouldn't get embarrassed to sign, like the seller, you can force him. Why can you force them to sign? That's because I'm in danger over here. Because when you look at all the documentation that's around, the documentation says that this field belongs to the Reish Gilusa. If everything's left alone, you know, generations from now, people might not remember what happened, and it could cause harm to me. It could be harm to my children, because right now the document says Reish Gilusa, or it says Levi. So therefore, I can ask Levi, I want you to sign, and I can force you if it doesn't cause you any problems. But over here, the daughter, if the daughter is saying, look, right now, you sold the field to Yehuda. She tells her brother, what are you worried about? What harm could come to Yehuda? The harm could come that I would take him to a Din Torah and say, or to a secular court, I would take him to secular court and say, look, I own the land. If I'm quiet, nothing's ever going to happen to him. Because why should anyone care? He has the land. If I don't protest, no, nothing will ever happen. And I know the halacha, and I would never go to a non-Jewish court, to a secular court, to try to take it from him. So therefore, you can't force me to sign. There's no reason. They can only force me, these halachas of the of the Gemara and Bava Kama talking, where some harm could come. But I can assure you, I'm never going to cause any problems. So therefore, I don't want to sign. So based on that, the Marsham says you cannot force the daughter to sign. So we have this machlokas whether you could force the daughter to sign or not. So the Fiskei Chosha wants to say the same thing should be over here. Right now, I want to do a halachically permitted use in my in my yard. I need some neighbors to sign to protect myself in case something should happen later on, that someone might complain and say you're going against the covenant, and I want the majority to sign, and you're blocking me. So that should be the same machlokas. If, according to those that say you can force the daughter to sign, so then you should be able to force the neighbor to sign also. According to those that say you can't force like the Mishpat Shalom, the Marsham says you can't force the daughter to sign, you shouldn't be able to force your neighbor to sign either. That's the way he wants to set it up. But once again, if the case is, right, it should really depend on what you want to do. If it's you're planting a tree and, you know, so you might be blocks your view, that's not really a real hezek, especially if you live two blocks away, right, and you just happen to be in that covenant. So what's it hurt you to sign? You know, you live three blocks away and there's a tree there, it's never going to touch you. So there we could say that, use the Marsham's halacha and say, look, this, I'm sorry, you could use the Erushai Nachlasi and say, force the daughter to sign, there's no harm that's going to come to you. What's the problem with signing? It's Hashav, it's Aveda. You're just going to have problems, causes problems, this person's problems by not signing, and it could be Mida Sedom for you not to sign, right? That, why shouldn't you sign? But if it's something that's really going to cause you a problem, for example, like we learned last week, that there are permitted uses, Tafi, Takhanas, Yushul, and Gamla, that you can start a school in your neighborhood, even though we said it might impede on parking, even though it might cause the value of houses to go down. So I'm not allowed to stop you from doing that. That's the takana yishuv ben gamla. If you want to open up a school in the neighborhood, it's a takana yishuv ben gamla. I have to allow that. I can't stop you. But does that mean that I have to sign on and help you do it? Right? So that far it could be even the Rosh Nachlasi would be, right? The Nachlasi said only if there is a pseda, right? He said if there's a ktas pseda, you can block it. So if the usage, like the case of the school, certainly where the houses will go down in value, assuming that that will happen, or I won't be able to park normally because of this usage, something that's going to impede my normal use of my house. So in that case, I think even the Erech Shai and Nachlasi would agree, and Nachlasi says it clearly, then in that case, I certainly don't have to sign because I don't have to sign something that's going to cause me a loss. That's not Midas Sodom. That's not Hashavas Aveda. I don't have to return an Aveda if it's going to be damaging to me. We learned that also. So that would seem to be a case in a type of usage that will hurt the neighbor. If it's a type of usage that will not hurt the neighbor, like this case of the tree and you live 3 blocks away, or whatever type of case where it's just like a technicality. You see, once you want to build an addition and a neighbor 2 blocks away doesn't want to sign it, he'll never be near that addition, but need him to sign. So in that case it could be even the Marsham would look at me, because the Marsham, even though he says, look, I'll never cause you any harm, that was his only time. But over here, I'm not worried that you're going to protest. I'm worried that some other neighbor who might not keep our halachas might protest. I need you to sign, so you're assurance to me that you are keep halacha and you would never take me to a secular court to stop me. That's no taina over here, because I'm worried that someone else will be, and I need you to protect me by signing on to this amendment of the covenant. So it could be if it was that type of usage where no harm can come to the person you're asking to sign, it could be that there you would have a din either as Hashavas Aveda or Midas Sodom, Zenenim, Zelo Choser, to sign on to that covenant to help that neighbor do his permitted use. So, in conclusion, through these first 15 shiurim up to this one, we had different types of uses that were permitted. Can you take your neighbor to a secular court? Certainly you can't take him to a secular court to stop him from doing your usage. But not only that, we learned, according to most poskim, you can't even invoke a zoning law, or threaten to invoke a zoning law, even if it wouldn't involve a court somehow, just to speak to, you know, to report him. If he's doing something that's halachically permissible, you have no right to do that. The Marik, we said, was only a very technical, limited case where we were both trying to get certain rights from a secular ruler. So there, we're competing. So you're trying to get your rights, I can try to compete and try to block them. That seemed to be the Marik's halacha. But whereas I'm doing a permitted, halachically permitted use, you have the right to try to get secular law involved and report me to try to block that use. The second half, can I force you to help me do that use? That would seem to depend on what type of use it is. If it is in any way causing you some harm, financial harm or inconvenience, something that's real, so then you would seem to have the right to say, I don't want to. Just like the Reish Galusa was able to say, I don't want to sign because it's a bazillion for me to sign. It's not causing any financial loss. It's just a bazillion. It's not right. It's not worth my stature that I should sign such a document. So certainly if it's affecting the value of your house or something that will impede on your use of your house, then you would have the right to say, I don't want to sign. If it's something that doesn't make a mashu of a difference to you, it doesn't make any difference at all, so there we would probably use the Erech Shai, the Nachlasvi, and say, we're coping with the Sodom, it's the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, to help this person do something that's permitted for him. You shouldn't have to always be in danger of some cranky neighbor some years from now trying to cause them a financial loss. Next week, the next few shiurim, we're going to get into a new topic called Hezek Re'iyah, right, one of the main topics in Bava Basra, meaning what rights the neighbor have privacy, what rights can he force the neighbor not to look at what he's doing. That's a whole sugya of Hezek Re'iyah. That's what will be our next mini section.